Hello there, I'm Coach Claire Ackers, ex-employee turned business owner and coach. I'm the founder of Adesse and the creator of Audacity, the 8-step proven program to transform your entrepreneurial journey and become the kind of leader you want to be. I am 100% focused on working with values-driven leaders and entrepreneurs just like you, on their authenticity and mindset, so they can think big and live extraordinary lives. You're listening to the Adesse Audacity podcast. It features interviews with inspiring, authentic leaders, my best leadership coaching tips, and advice from industry experts on how to grow and scale a values-led company. There's no getting away from it. These are testing times, and I thought long and hard about whether to release this series during this wee while, and ultimately decided that the best way I can help is to help you be the best you can be. So, maybe you're an entrepreneur or business leader of a fast-growing company who's excited to scale but wants to do it in the right way. Or maybe you're an aspiring leader looking for some inspiration. Wherever you are in your journey, if you're values-led and purpose-driven, you're in the right place. Ready? Let's go. Today, I am delighted to be talking to one of my favourite people in the world, Binny Chatta, who is my yoga teacher. Binny, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm good, Claire, and thank you for having me. I really, really feel honored. Honestly, it's something that I always wanted to do with you since I heard that you were doing it. So it's an honor. So thank you. How are you, though?
I am okay, thank you. Yes.
Good.
Quite honestly, one of the drawbacks of you know I love my shed quarters, but one of the drawbacks of being in here in the summer is that it turned into a bit of a sauna. So obviously that isn't an issue on the podcast version, but the Audacity TV version, you'll see me getting redder and redder and redder. I've got a very bright red top on today.
Just to let people think that, yeah, that's just my colour reflecting.
Yeah, I'm just painting a picture for everybody of me turning slowly into a tomato. But you and I have known each other must be coming up for 4 years now, and quite honestly, I walked into your yoga studio and it changed my life. Would you like to tell the story of how we met?
Yeah, of course.
Your first impression of me?
Yes, I started my career as a yoga teacher. I was really fresh, 200-hour, certified, and Profit was the place I started. And used to be very few people who started, because apparently there were not many yoga practitioners in Farsley at that time. And I was nervous. And in you walked in one of my most busiest class. Instead of just two or three people, I think I had around 10 or 12 people that day. And you huffed and puffed your way into my room. This is how I felt. And you did the yoga and you were so serious. And when I finished, obviously, being a new teacher, as you know, when you're in any new business, any new line, you're looking for validation. You're like, have I done it right? So I saw you. I said, I'm not going to be able to please her. And then I remember you picked up your bag. You had to go back to your work, your, office, which you were running at that time. And I felt, oh my God, she's not coming back. And you came back and you told me, oh my God, I have never slept so well. As I slept that day, I felt so relaxed and so light. I remember those words. And I was like, phew. And you and I just connected from that day onwards. But you told me how stressed you were with the children, with the work, setting up your business, I just was so happy that it worked. And you came back. And that is a philosophy that we want people to connect to, that it does work, even if you've never done it, even if you don't believe in the mumbo jumbo or God or whatever. You know, you don't have to. This is you. It's for you.
I feel very strongly that yoga principles are really, really important for growing a heart-centered, values-led business. And yes, absolutely, I want to feature marketing people and PR people and accountancy people in helping people scale their businesses. But I'm so pleased that you have agreed to come on, because
I think
we need you. The principles that you teach and the way that you teach as well, oh my gosh, it's just amazing. What are your thoughts on how yoga principles could help people in growing a business?
You know, if you want to go into the yoga side of it, there are niyamas, there are principles in yoga practice that we learn, not just in our physical practice, but as who we should be as human beings, as teachers. And this is one of the reasons when I go to a yoga class, I have to look up to my teacher. I have to see that they are living or trying to live in their most, you know, honest self through those principles, which are just like normal things. You know, any business, any practice, any exercise, anything you do in your life, with your children, with your relationships, not just business. It's about being honest, you know, not to steal, not to hoard, to study with passion, to have faith in something that is beyond and bigger than your physical body, your physical self, your persona that you think, I am Vinny, the yoga teacher. I am beyond that. You're beyond this. You wear many hats. So having trust, there are just these few principles to be honest, to not steal, to not hold. You know, there's an information that I have. I share it. I don't hold it. You know how my classes go. I am always doing mini kind of workshops in my 1 hour class.
And I sneak it in everywhere.
Yeah. Philosophy. Even sometimes, you know, things mumbo jumbo my way into it. And it works. It just shows that people are receptive to openness, honesty, and just being passionate, and to keep studying, keep filling yourself with new knowledge. You know, follow people who have achieved something, read their blogs, listen to their podcasts, go on their social media pages. There's so much to learn from everybody.
Tell us your story, how you ended up as a yoga teacher. I've heard bits and pieces. I think the earliest bit of your story that I remember hearing is about spiritual teachers coming to your mum's house.
I mean, you know, Indian culture, we're very spiritual, and it is religious, but spirituality is a big part of Indian culture. Things that people learn here, I grew up with that. So gurus were always there. And
Where did he grow up?
In India. I grew up in India, in northern India, Punjab, Ludhiana. And my family is very, you know, it's not, well, it used to be very conservative. But they always instilled in us the values of, you know, being humble, being open, and, you know, sharing. That was always there. And religion is part of that. And we always had some kind of guru or teacher, or going to satsang. Satsangs are meetings where you sit, you listen to the hymns or the bhajans or the, you know, the music, and you connect. When you're listening to any kind of music, something that touches you, you connect, don't you? And it's the same thing. Sometimes it's so beautiful, the whole, you know, environment, that you find forgiveness for yourself. You find faith that there is something beyond me. I'm not doing it all. There is an intelligence that works around me, the intelligence that is making the trees grow, the intelligence that helps me heal, the intelligence that takes me forward even when I want to give up. You know, all of these things are not something that we are doing. The way your heart is beating, the way your lungs are working, the way your wound heals. You're not doing it. You can't say, I'm not going to let this wound heal today, or I'm not going to breathe. You're not going to say, wait a minute, I got to go and see that my heart is beating or not. I got to go and put it on the charger. You're not doing that. Who's doing it? Something is beyond us, something that's cosmic. Some people call it God. Some people call it intelligence, consciousness. But it's there. And this is what I learned from my early years, that you're not the one who is doing this. And nothing in life is an accident. Everything is happening just the way it is or should be happening. So yeah, so my spiritual journey began like that. But I was never a God believer. I did not believe in any God or any idol. I didn't know. I was born in a Sikh family, studied in a convent school where the nuns were like, Jesus is the true God. And then at home, I had different thing. And then I had friends who were Hindus. They had different beliefs. I had friends who were Christians and Muslims. So I just grew up feeling very confused and not having any belief. But life teaches you a lot of lessons. You know, you're thrown in circumstances and challenges. And then you've got nowhere to run. You're just pushed to the edge of the cliff where you're just literally hanging, you know, and about to fall. And that, sometimes that pushes you into a place where you have to then have faith. You have to find something. And I found it through Buddhism. I became a practicing Buddhist for many years. And there was only one mantra, and you meditated on mantra, which is Nam Myoho Renge Kyo. And it allowed me to understand everything that the orthodox religions were being practiced. It allowed me to understand that what people have made it into a rule and a law is not that. I got an understanding from Buddhism to understand my own religion, Hinduism, and my yoga practice. Everything I teach is thanks to Buddhist philosophy. I owe everything of myself to this philosophy, that there is no good and bad. There is no right and wrong. We are all playing our roles. You know, like Shakespeare says, the world is a stage and we are all actors playing our part. And that's what Buddhism teaches, that everything has a good and a bad. If love becomes obsessive, it becomes an obsession. You know, love can be good, but you can go past that edge. Anger can be good if used rightly, but it can also go beyond our control, and then it becomes that vengeance. So this is what I learned. Yeah.
It took you a while though, didn't it, for those early spiritual lessons and meetings with those remarkable people to translate
into
yoga.
My 20s. I don't consider yoga as an asana practice at all. The asana practice that we do is just exercise. For me, yoga is being healthy in my mind, being present. I'm not perfect. No one is. No guru is. If you take out any example of Dalai Lama, Mother Teresa, any of these people you might idolize, you think are epitome of heart and love, they knew that the practice of yoga began. That is yoga, whether they call it yoga or not, is to yourself. You've got to be aware. If I'm feeling angry today at something that my husband might have said, it's okay. I'm a human being. I've got emotions. But am I letting that emotion consume me? When I'm on my mat, when I'm moving or flowing through my asanas, and I feel a little twinge, am I saying, I can ignore that. I got to do this because everybody else is doing it. Or I want to get stronger because that's the agenda in my head. That's not yoga. You have gone from, say, sanity into insanity. You've you've gone away from what your body, what your mind is asking you. Yeah, so it takes time and a lot of pain, whether it's physical, emotional, and it teaches you. You can take it as a growing, like a ladder, you know?
Yeah,
It, changing your perspective is a big thing.
I think there are a lot of similarities and lessons that authentic entrepreneurs can take from the principles of yoga. So for example, you mentioned purpose. I think the kind of entrepreneurs and leaders we're talking about are driven by not necessarily a higher purpose, but a desire to have an impact, to make a difference, to do something more.
Yeah.
And also that seeking out of a flow.
Yeah. And I think to have an intention of serving, it's not like serving as in like, I am only here to do good for others and, you know, you're just giving. No, that creates an imbalance itself. You're serving. I'm serving you. Like you said, Bini, you were the best thing that happened. I needed you. But I was about to tell you at that time, Claire, I needed you as much. What good are my teachings and learnings if I'm not sharing? I know a lot of teachers, a lot of people who are like, I'm not going to share this information with everybody because I'm going to keep it because I don't want to spill all my secret, but it is not your secret. You know, somebody gave it to you. Somebody gave you that learning, share it. So if you have something, knowledge, share it. I'm not saying spill all your secrets. Some things you do need to keep inward when you have a, you know, like a eureka moment. Yes, it worked. This is how I want to do things. But you can share the knowledge, that serving, that yes, I want, you know, you rise by lifting others. Isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And joy as well.
Joy.
I think there's a lot of joy to be found in working in your purpose. Yeah. And oh my gosh, when you get into that yoga flow and particularly into that higher meditative state, you've heard me talk before about reaching the stars.
Yes, levitated. So, you said that. I levitated. Amazing. I'm like, I need to do that.
Oh, I just honestly, I tell all my clients when they're exhausted, when they're struggling to turn all the tabs of their mind off, say, go do yoga. Look at yoga nidra. They don't expect to hear that from me, but I tell everybody that if you want to reach that,
Millie, you should share your story, how you had never done yoga, you had no clue why you went to that class, and you were like, what is this? I'm just gonna go and do it, and you know, and get back to work, you know, and then you know, that is the best way. You can teach more through your own experiences and your examples, I think, rather than quoting other people's quotes, which are very good. They can be very inspiring, but you have more impact through your own thing.
Talk to me about chakra balancing, because I know that's something you're quite passionate about.
Yeah, so basically chakras are these, I would call them intelligent energy centers. They are present along the length of our spine. They start from right where your coccyx is. Give me a moment.
For the listeners,
sorry,
it is not stripping off.
No, I was just closing the door. The kids, I could hear the kids. These are intelligence energy centers present along the length of the spine. And the first center begins from the root, the seat of your pose, which is your coccyx. And it goes up to the length, into the crown, right few inches above the crown of your head. And there's 7 energy centers. Some people might say 8 and 9. But we're not going to go into that. Now, the thing is that when we are born, or let's say when a baby, you know, or an egg is fertilized and there's a fetus, there's a cosmic energy that is present inside that fetus. That cosmic energy is the same energy which is letting it grow from a little tadpole into the full human form until it's ready to come out. Now, throughout their, you know, when they are in the womb, they've got the cosmic energy. But once they are the baby is out. And after a while, the baby doesn't need that cosmic energy anymore, you know, because it has all of this support around him, the parents, the family, the school, the college, the university, the work. So the baby, as he's growing or she's growing, she's getting all this information and support and guidance to help it sustain the life. It doesn't need that cosmic energy anymore. So that cosmic energy goes down and sits into the base of the spine. And it's like a little, like an oval-shaped egg. And according to the Tantra, the ancient Indian philosophy, it's a serpent that's wrapped around this oval-shaped egg. And it's an energetic, way to describe it. It sits up there and it's waiting to be uncoiled and lift up. Now, I knew about these things, read about it, and like, it's just crap. And then I experienced it. And when that energy rises, it is a blissful experience. It's an amazing experience. But these centers, I just wanted to mention that these centers govern everything in our life. The first root center, this is your primal, place where you are concerned about your food, your shelter, your money. Mm-hmm. So it's ruled by that. If this center is not in balance, you'll always be insecure. You'll always be fearful. Your second center is 4 inches below your navel, which is your womb, your creative, your power to create and procreate, your creativity. If that center is blocked, it could have imbalance in your sexual nature, or any problems in the organs in that body, in that mm-hmm. center. The third is, I won't go too deep. The third is your solar plexus, your willpower. I always say, when you have strong core, you have a strong will. That's because that's your inner fire, your digestive juices are. When they are over or under, they will have that kind of effect. You might have indigestion, a lot of acidity, or you might have weak fire in your solar plexus, and that means sluggishness, putting on weight, or having, not such good willpower instincts in everything, just, easily, being maneuvered by other people.
So there's then physical and mental.
Yeah, it governs your physical as well as your psychological and spiritual energies. So then it's your heart, it governs your lungs and your heartbeat, everything that is in that chest center. So that's, if that is blocked, and this is one of the main places, Claire, if that is blocked, we can't feel anything. There's a story about this, I don't know whether I told you, it's about this writer in Berlin. He was having a sort of a seminar, and he was talking about heart center and letting go and forgiveness and feeding the compassion. And during the seminar, a woman got up from the audience and she says, I can't feel anything in my heart. My heart feels cold. And it's hurting because my father was in the Holocaust, and I can't forgive for what was done to, the Jews at that time. And before the writer could answer her, how to deal with it, another woman got up from another side of the room, and she said that, I can't understand what had happened, and I cannot forgive my father for what he did because he was a Nazi guard. I'm angry at him. How can I forgive him? And both the women looked at you. This is a true story. They looked at each other. And they just hugged each other, embraced each other. And just by able to, address it, talk about it, they were able to understand. No words were exchanged. Nothing was said. They just hugged and they understood. So our heart is a very powerful place. This is a place where if it's blocked, we cannot connect the lower three and the upper three chakras in our body. And that can cause a lot of blockages. And most of the blockages at least I knew, mine was in the heart. I had erected walls since I was a child because of whatever was going on. Mm-hmm. That's for another day, another podcast. And it was hard to break, to trust, to open, to share, to let it heal. You cannot force it. You cannot will your heart to love, can you?
Mm.
You can't. So that's the heart. And then your throat center. You know, I this is my experience. I came to UK and I lost my voice. I lost my confidence because I had too many do's and don'ts being told to me. When you go there, this is what you should do. And I think I lost my voice. I lost my place. And I found out that I'm having thyroid, you know. I had blocked my chakra.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to talk, as you can see. So then the third is your intuitive center, which is your third eye. And then the crown center, which is like, once you get there, once you get this energy in flow, you're in a state of bliss. Things will happen, but you will connect to that place every time you'll come home. You know, but you need to first sort out the first three centers, you know, your food, your basic needs, your creativity, your sexual urges, and your digestive, what you're putting in your body and how it's affecting you. So these three centers, when they are in balance, everything starts flowing.
That's so interesting. And I guess in our stunted Western philosophy, the equivalent would be, are you familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
So it's, no, it, but tell me.
So yeah. it's exactly the same, but a lot more spiritually stunted. So basically, if you think of a triangle, the bottom line is the basics, your food, survival, shelter.
Yes.
And it's only by moving up the triangle that you get to the higher purpose. And sort of identity stuff. So that's exactly it's the same equivalent, isn't it, of what you're saying.
And what you experience it, you know, the stars, you actually did touch your crown center, your crown chakra. You go beyond your body. You've experienced it and without any knowledge of it, as far as I know.
Yes, it's only, I've had it a few times, but it's only been a few rare glimpses. And oh my gosh, I would love to live in that state all the time. Because like you say, it's absolutely blissful. But I think what you are describing is so, so powerful. And I think it's very, very easy to understand how it relates to.
It's science. Yeah. Very, very science. If you're worried about, you know, how you're going to eat and how you're going to hold this roof on your head, how can you think about, you know, getting blissful and going to out of your, you're not going to be able to do that. And love would not be your, you know.
So a lot of people I work with, I would imagine, are stuck in the, I think it was the solar plexus, loss of willpower. I can't remember the symptoms you described, but
the solar plexus is your power center. It's where you plug in your power and also, you know, share your power.
So did you say loss of confidence as well? That kind of stuff?
Yes, of course. Confidence. These are all emotional sense. It can have a lot of emotional effects. Fear, guilt, shame. You know, all of these are from these lower three centers.
So that's what you call that. And then I call it in my work, imposter syndrome. Same thing, isn't it?
Really, exactly. Like I said, all these philosophies are.
So what I'm sure this is going to resonate with a lot of people listening to this, but what can people do about it if they feel that, you know, if they're listening to this and thinking, oh my gosh, that's ticking all the boxes for me, I understand.
Well, start by looking after yourself, just like Claire, you look after your children, your husband, your parents, you know, your family. Can you show the same care and love to yourself? And it's not selfish. It's the same thing that I often say, that, you know, when you're traveling on the plane and the air hostess says, in case of an emergency, put the oxygen mask on yourself first so that you can look after the person next to you. And I used to think that's very selfish. I won't put the mask on my child first. It is a mother's instinct, but no, I understand. If anything happens to me, who's going to look after them? So if you are a carer and you love anybody in your family, can you show the same love and care to yourself? Maybe it's your pet, maybe it's your friends. Can you show the same care and understanding when you need a break, when you need to back off, when you need to just switch off from everything that is outside of you. Are you giving yourself the same care? And I think meditation can help a lot. Yes, exercise, go do running, go do your weights, go do your TRX, your insanity. All of those things are important. But we are nothing without our mind. Our mind is a minefield. We can use it to create a lot of negativity, and that negativity will in turn affect your body. You'll have high blood pressure, all that stress, all that not stopping and stepping back will increase your sugar level, diabetes, heart condition, cancer, you name it. We can do that to our bodies just by having negative feelings. It might be for someone or not looking after yourself. And you can use the same mind field, your heart center energy, to create something positive. Mm. I've heard, and I've read, I actually heard this podcast about a lady called Anita Mujani, who was able to reverse lymphoma, fourth stage. She died. She had a near-death experience. And she was able to, her case has been referred to the topmost doctors all over the world. She came back. Not only did she come back, Claire, she was able to heal the lesions on her body, which the doctor said they will never be able to cure or heal. She needed reconstructive surgery. She eradicated that cancer from her body. She's completely cancer-free. All her lesions, all her wounds are healed. And she did it. And this is a person who is right now. She was referred. She came on Wayne Dyer's show. Her case has been a focus of attention by the world's top leading scientists and doctors and surgeons, and they have no explanation. So we can create that just with our thoughts. But the thing is, you cannot force yourself into positive thoughts. You cannot make yourself think, I'm going to be positive. Your body is not stupid. It knows you're forcing yourself. You got to believe it. You got to make your body respond to those positive emotions the same way.
How do you truly believe right through to your core?
So when you are angry at your, shall I just use our husband? Because we all feel angry at our husband.
After this long of lockdown, yes, I think we can use that example.
I can say that. So your partner, your boyfriend or whatever. And you don't talk to each other for days sometimes because you're locked down, isn't it? That's the only way you switch off. And you're constantly telling him, I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to tell him this. I'm going to tell him this. How dare he say that to me? How could he say that? He doesn't do this. And you feel your body becomes hot and flurried when you're thinking these emotions.
You're taken over, aren't you, by the anger and the...
Every time you stress, your body is responding. You can feel the hairs on your body, your body temperature, your heartbeat changing. Now, when you want to undo all this, see if you can find love for yourself, not for him. Don't worry about others. Find for yourself. Like, why do I need to invite this emotion to my life? I'm not going to hold this. I'm only going to hold this space of love and joy in my heart. I understand he said that, but I don't understand it. It's okay, but I don't have to. I'm just going to hold this place of joy and then allow your body to respond to that joy. Gratitude is such a big emotion. Every time I feel angry at my teenage son or anybody else, I allow the anger to be. And then afterwards, I sit with it and I'm like, I don't want to hold this. It's burning me. I can see my body burning and reacting negatively to this. And then just I allow that place to just sit in. It's okay to just let that emotion sit in. Sit with it. Ask, why are you here? What do you want me to do? Ask for guidance. It might not come through that day or even in a few weeks. Doesn't matter. But just sit with it and just allow your body's response of that. Thank you for showing me this opportunity to make a change in my habits, in how I have been abusing myself by constantly, holding these toxic chemicals or emotions in my body. you have to get into the heart space. You have to rest in your heart space. You have to find gratitude and joy for what you have. And the best way to do it is, I think about that one person who loves me without any, you know, condition. My younger son, you know, he's still in that stage. There's that love that is just, it's not controlled. See them loving you and feel what they feel for you when they see you. You know, anybody, it could be your guru, your friend, your lover, anybody. See them how they see you. You know, see yourself how they see you in their heart. Feel the same love they have for you. Imagine them. It works. That's why I do those love, heart-centered meditations. You know, because I'm asking you guys to find that love for yourself, maybe through the eyes of someone else to begin with.
That's a really good way of doing it. And that it reminds me of a study. Have you heard about the one that holding a newborn baby releases the same chemicals as a state of bliss?
It's just a beautiful expression.
That unconditional, yeah. Unconditional, yeah. Love.
Yeah. And that child, that baby is just, he's just got eyes for you. That's it.
And then they grow up and, yeah.
Let's not go there. That is another day.
But I guess what you're describing, and thank you for the practical tips on how to access it. I guess it is a practice. And the more you do it, the stronger it gets.
Definitely. It won't happen in one go. You might even feel a fake. I'm pretending. It's okay. There's nothing wrong in being a fake. You know, I always say fake it till you make it. You know, and it works. You know, there is a quote that I had written, you know, love wants growth. The widenings and the deepening of consciousness and being. Whatever prevents that becomes a cause of pain. And love does not shrink from pain. So if there is pain that is physical, anger, shame, guilt, just think of it as pain. It's there because it's asking for your love. It's asking for your attention. That anger, that shame, that pain is asking for your attention and love. Sit with it. Don't judge it. Don't get annoyed. Don't beat yourself. I'm not a good person. There's nothing wrong. These are feelings. But to sit with those feelings for a very long time, then it can have a negative effect. If you don't let it sit, it's not yours. You let it go. It's like a bird, a butterfly. You let it sit and you sit with it. You watch it, you observe it, and then you just let it go.
I'm growing a select community of people like you, values-led, authentic entrepreneurs and leaders who are hell-bent on having extraordinary impact with their business. In this community, you can expect support, inspiration and advice from people who know exactly what you're going through. Why don't you join us? Search for Audacity from Odessa on Facebook and come on in.